Let me encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy, specifically chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18 is where we will be for the bulk of our lesson today. I want to ask you a question this morning. What do you understand God's nature to be? We just sang a song, God is Love. We sing a lot about God and love, don't we? In your bulletin, I have some songs that talk about God and love, number 180, 191, 193. We have tons of songs that deal with God's mercy and grace. And we love passages like James 5 and verse 11, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Oh man, do I need God's mercy. Romans 1 and verse 7. By the way, you'll notice in the bulletin, I didn't have room to put all these passages, so I'm sorry, but we have a little tiny bulletin, and it would take an extra page for all the passages I'm going to use this morning, so I tried to just put the highlights. Romans 1 and verse 7. To all who are in Rome and who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you. From God. You know, that phrase is used over and over and over and over and over and over in the writings of Paul. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2, 2, Galatians 1, 3, Ephesians 1, 2, Philippians 1, 2, Colossians 1, 2. What am I going through? The letters of the New Testament. They all start with that phrase. But then there are passages like Hebrews 10:31, which preachers have used sometimes to scare people half to death. And that passage is frequently taken out of context. You remember what it says? It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Old Testament is full of dreadful stories of God destroying whole nations. When I was an atheist, I had 1 Samuel 15:3 committed to memory. Remember the passage? Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. And as an atheist, I would say, who wants to believe in a God like that? It took me a long time to understand that. What's your concept of God? Are you here this morning? Are you on Zoom because you fear God? Or because you love God? What's the basis of your Christianity? What do you perceive God to be? I want to point something out to you. You probably are aware of this. Maybe you never heard it stated this directly. But the emphasis of God's word has always been on love, not fear. Let me say that again. The emphasis of God's word has always been on love, not fear. Now think with me. Remember the Ten Commandments? What's number one? Thou shalt what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. And then he goes on, he says, the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then let's know what is described here. And all of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The emphasis of God's word has always been on love. The New Testament is saturated with an emphasis on love. You know, I'm convinced that the reason a lot of men don't want to get involved in church is they are scared to death of love. Now, I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about love. They're scared to death. The macho concept of a man minimizes love. It takes guts to love. Most men do not have enough courage to love as Jesus calls us to love. A new commandment I give you. Jesus talking. A new commandment. He's not saying this is a nice thing to do. He isn't saying, hey, here's a good philosophy for you. No, it's much stronger than that. A new commandment. This is as fundamental as any other commandment. And what is it? A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. All men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. You say, I can't preach. Welcome to the club. You say, I can't teach. Welcome to the club. You say, I can't go out and talk to somebody about Jesus. But you can love one another. That is within your reach. And the New Testament just flows over with this. Galatians 5, verse 13, serve one another in love. Why do we send cards to each other? Why do we pray for those of us who are struggling with things, physical things like Tracy and Lane are dealing with right now, and what Willard has been dealing with, and what Leon is dealing with, struggling with family issues like Richard's dealing with? Because we want to serve one another in love. Romans 13, verses 8, love one another is the fulfillment of the law. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other. And later on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, now by brotherly love, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. 1 John 3, verses 14 through 17. Anyone who does not love remains in death. You want to know why there's so much misery out there? You want to know why today, beautiful day, thank God, what a gorgeous day. Can you believe it is October the 17th and we haven't had a frost yet? Oh, well, another subject. But people can do whatever they want and they're still going to be miserable. They're still going to be in death. Anyone who does not love remains in death. I saw the change in my mother, in my brother, as they became Christians after living for years as atheists. And I saw my youngest brother, who never made that step, struggle. We all are familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 1. If you haven't read that recently, let me encourage you to read it tonight. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13. It's short, but what a description of love. Let me ask you something. In your life, and this is the old man speaking now, In your own life, what has been stronger, a relationship based on love or on fear? What kind of a marriage is it when a wife is afraid of her husband, or vice versa? What kind of relationship is it with a child when the child obeys you because they're scared to death of what you're going to do with them if they don't? And I see all this abuse that kids face today. And in 41 years of public school teaching, every day I had a kid come to me in tears. You know what my dad did to me? A relationship based on fear. I've been with people who have a hate relationship with their brother or sister. Why? Because they're scared to death. And in the church, we have had leaders who operated on the basis of fear, trying to scare us into the baptistry. Doesn't work. You may get them wet, but you don't change them. Folks, I want you to understand something. There's a war going on between good and evil. And this is part of what we need to understand if we're going to deal with the nature of God. You remember the book of Job? One of the interesting things about the book of Job is that it is the one time in Scripture where there is an open, plain picture of the war between good and evil. It starts out in Job 1 with a description of Job, the all-around good guy, the spiritual Superman. And then we get this vignette of the picture between God and Satan, between good and evil, between the war on opposite sides. Listen to this. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you been?" And Satan said, "I've been roaming back and forth through the earth, going back and forth." Verse 8, and the Lord said to Satan, "Hey, have you seen my buddy Job? Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who shuns evil and fears God." And Satan pulls out his major card. Well, does Job fear God for nothing? Haven't you put a hedge around him and around his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and the herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Boy, if that isn't a battle between good and evil, I don't know what one is. And the Lord said to Satan, "Okay. All right, everything he has is in your hands. But don't touch him." And you know what happens. I don't know that we've ever sat and thought about the degree of suffering that Job endured. In chapter 2, starting with verse 1, we're told that Job sat on the ground and his friends with him for 7 days and 7 nights. And no one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Have you ever held the hand of somebody that was going through enormous pain and suffering and not known what to say? And you know what happens? Job loses. His animals are stolen. His servants are killed, his children are killed, his house collapses. Later he gets physical problems, he gets sores, blisters. There's a gory description. He took pieces of pottery and scraped the sores. His health is gone, his friends are no help. We have suffering too. And sometimes it's hard to bear. And sometimes there just aren't words that will console the person suffering. Now, as you read on, you find God never explains specifically to Job why this happened. But at the end of it all, in Job 42, starting with verse 3, Job says, I spoke of things I did not understand. Yeah, I don't understand why my son had to die. I don't understand why my wife died. I don't understand why my brother died when I was trying to reach him. I don't understand. But he goes on and he said, things too wonderful for me to know. And then he wipes it up by saying, my ears have heard of you with the ear, but now mine eyes have seen you. Ladies and gentlemen, you can take Job's name out of the book of Job and put your name in place of it because you are Job. You know who has taught me the most about this? My mentally challenged, blind, cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, schizophrenic son, who demonstrated over and over and over how he could handle his disabilities. I never heard Tim complain about his disabilities. Never. It got to the point where he couldn't feed himself, he couldn't eat, he couldn't swallow, he couldn't even talk. But he taught me. We are Job. No, I can't understand why God doesn't stop Tracy's kidneys from deteriorating. And I can't tell you why Lane is struggling with a husband who is fighting cancer. I can't tell you why they can't seem to figure out what's wrong with Bill. I don't have answers. But I know there are answers. I wish somehow Tim could tell me what it's like after 59 years of blindness to all of a sudden be able to see. How do you explain that? And my atheist friends will say, well, all right, but you just quoted 1 Samuel 15:3 when God said that horrible stuff about the Amalekites. And we had this question raised last week. Rose said something to the effect of, well, I can understand some of this stuff, but why did God tell the Israelites to kill all the babies? They're innocent. Why did God tell them to kill the animals? And this is almost providential. Last Friday and Saturday, I was in Cincinnati attending an archaeological seminar with an expert, a guy that has two PhDs in archaeology, and we've been studying the Cooper series on Sunday nights. Tonight we're going to see Paul's journeys. But I want you to look at Deuteronomy 18, starting with verse 9, and look at what God says about these people. Remember now, this is Deuteronomy. When you enter the land the Lord is giving you, do not learn to imitate the despicable, detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one among you be found who sacrifices his son or his daughter in the fire. The next 5 minutes is going to be a little rough, folks. And I've been criticized before for being too expressive, but all I can do is tell you what the Bible says and what you can check out for yourself. We saw archaeological digs from this area that showed children, 5, 6, 7-year-old children, lying on their backs in a fire pit, screaming as their parents threw them into the fire as a sacrifice. That was the practice of the Amalekites. This was in a place called Gezer, G-E-Z-E-R. We saw children who were in death poses. Notice this passage goes on. Or who practiced divination or sorcery. This is a vision, a claim of miraculous information. Interprets omens. I'm just reading now. Deuteronomy 18. Omen is black magic. It is a claim of supernatural powers. Engages in witchcraft. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about Halloween. And how much attention is there to witches on Halloween? Or cast spells? Or who is a medium or spiritist who consults the dead? You drive around Benton Harbor, St. Joe, you'll see some people who have signs out letting you talk to your dead wife or dead husband. Verse 12, anyone who does these things is detestable to God. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before your God. Folks, we have archaeological proof that that's what they were doing. But listen to Leviticus 18. Now, I know this is a little rough, but bear with me. Leviticus 18, starting with verse 1. And this is part of the law of Moses. Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech. That was going on at that time. There are grave sites, grave stones in this area where there's a body of a child and a picture of the heart that was ripped out of the child while the child was alive. Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. Do not have sexual relationships with an animal and defile yourself with it. A woman must not present herself to an animal and have sexual relationships with it. That is a perversion. Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I am going to drive out before you have become defiled. For all these things were done by the people who lived in the land before you, and the land became defiled. Do not follow any of the detestable customs that were practiced before you came. You say, well, that's offensive. Listen, I'm just reading God's word and what God says to Israel. Do you know that when you find a skeleton, you can determine what the person died of very frequently? And every animal excavated in this area had an STD. Gonorrhea, syphilis, the papillomavirus. It was running wild. Every baby born was born with an STD. And in many cases, there is a headstone that tells what the person died of. And almost universally, it is an STD, a sexually transmitted disease. So what do you do? As Israel moves into the land of the Amalekites, as we invaded Gezer, and incidentally, this also has been found in Carthage, what was the only solution, especially at that time? You know, today, we have a similar situation in Uganda. And even with our modern medicines, it has been very unsuccessful to stop the transmission of the STDs in Uganda. And look what we've learned from the COVID thing. I don't think Todd had any choice. Look what's going on. Look what's going on in America today. Here we are with a vaccine. And I know I know what all the arguments are. But here we are with a vaccine that can stop the disease, and people are fighting it. People are fighting it. And most of what is being said is just plain ignorance. Some of them have religious reasons, fine. But a lot of it is just plain ignorance. And as a science teacher, I know something about how these things work. I don't think God had a choice. Was it horrible? Yeah. Can you imagine being a soldier in Israel and having to cut a baby up to kill it? Because it is steeped with an STD. Killing a cow that looks like it, man, what a wonderful looking cow, but not realizing that it is infected with things that could produce something worse than COVID. I don't think God had a choice. It took me a long time to understand that. I never really fully understood it, and still, we started this series with John Cooper, and until I saw for myself the headstones with the writings telling what these babies died of, what these animals died of. God is a God of love. So what does all this tell us about the world in which we live today? Number one, Jesus calls us to love God and love one another. That was in the Ten Commandments. But it's throughout the New Testament. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? We all know, don't we? Jesus wept. John 11, verse 35. Did you ever notice the interpretation of the Jews that saw what happened there? When Jesus is weeping because of what has happened to Lazarus, how did they interpret it? Read it. Look how he loved him. Jesus demonstrated love. And brothers and sisters, love is within our reach. You and I can do that. It's also interesting that there is specific commentaries by Paul about the world in which you and I live. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 12, Paul says, "What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? What business of mine is it for me to judge those outside the church?" 1 Corinthians 5:12. I'm not going to get out and yell and scream and throw a tantrum about what's happening with the gay community. It won't do any good. I don't know how they got where they are. I don't know the cause. I do know the future. Trans people need compassion and love, not condemnation. It won't do any good to scream at somebody, "You're going to hell," because of the lifestyle they've chosen. We need to convert our efforts to love. I think it's a tragedy that Buchanan, Michigan, is now the marijuana center of Southwest Michigan. Niles is right on their heels. Do we know the long-term effects of alcohol and marijuana? Yeah. So shall we get on a major campaign, get pickets, and run through downtown Niles or downtown Buchanan screaming against these things? That's not how you change people's minds. You change people's minds by love. That's what Jesus did. That's what the apostles did. We have to stand together and by example show what God wants of us. Did you look carefully at the words of number 180? God is love, Read through that before you leave today. And right now, we have a wonderful song to close with, number 191. God will take care of you. Do you love God enough to believe that? Is your view of God one of an angry tyrant who looks for ways to condemn people? The Bible says God is not willing that any should be lost. Are you any? Yeah. Am I any? Yeah. Am I any better than anybody else? No. Do I sin? You bet. Am I weak? Yeah. God will take care of me, and God will take care of you. Let's stand together and sing that song as we close this morning.